Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. And we continue our coverage of the grand jury decision in the death of Eric Garner this morning. The decision, no indictment of Officer Daniel Pantaleo, who applied the apparent chokehold just before Garner died. Our first guest is First Deputy Mayor Anthony Shores, the right-hand man to Mayor de Blasio. Welcome back to WNYC, Deputy Mayor.
Good morning, Brian.
And I want to start with about a minute of the mayor speaking last night.
This is profoundly personal for me. I was at the White House the other day, and the President of the United States turned to me, and he met Dante a few months ago, and he said that Dante reminded him of what he looked like as a teenager. And he said, I know you see this crisis through a very personal lens. And I said to him, I did. Because Shirley and I have had to talk to Dante for years about the dangers that he may face. Good young man, law-abiding young man, who never would think to do anything wrong, and yet, because of a history that still hangs over us, the dangers he may face, we've had to literally train him, as families have all over this city for decades, in how to take special care in any encounter he has with the police officers who are there to protect him.
That was Mayor de Blasio from his speech last night. We'll hear more clips as we go along. My guest is First Deputy Mayor Anthony Shores. And Deputy Mayor, what struck me as I was listening to the mayor last night was that he gave such a more expansive speech than President Obama gave after Ferguson, though he didn't explicitly disagree with the grand jury. But how did the mayor decide to say so much more that seemed to express unhappiness with the verdict than the president did after Ferguson?
Well, look, Brian, I mean, everybody reacts and deals with these things differently, and partly it's a result of where they come from and where they are. I think for Bill de Blasio, as a New Yorker, he felt a pain very particular because this is his community. This is his city. It's the place he's devoted his life to serving. It's very personal for him, as he talked about last night, as I'm sure it was for the president in a different way, but we're much closer to it, right? We're on the ground. This is the town that Bill has lived in and served and worked for and cares about. So he's going to feel it in a very personal way, and I think that came through in how disturbed he was in his comments last night.
And yet the mayor did not explicitly disagree with or denounce the grand jury's decision not to indict. Why not?
Well, look, I think what he's trying to focus on is what he is about and what he has to do and what we have to do now as a city. What happened in that room is not something any of us are privy to or understand what happened. We all know what we saw, and we understand the heartbreaking effect of what happened that day. But now the time, and I think his job as a leader, is to move a city forward and to take what happened and to use the energy and in some respects even the anger as a lever for change. And in many respects, that's what his mayoralty has been about, is creating levers for change. And we're seeing that change in a police department right now. It's the same lever of change that's ended stop and frisk, that's retraining the entire department, that's ending marijuana arrests, that's putting body cameras on officers. It's the kind of change that he came to make in the city. And while I'd much rather it was being made for a positive reason, sometimes tragedies like this can be very empowering for change.
Listeners, as we did last night in our special coverage, we'll continue to take your calls with your reactions on any side of this. If you're outraged by this verdict, call in. If you're maybe a police officer or anyone else who thinks justice was done here, maybe you're a police officer who thinks justice wasn't done in this grand jury, give us a call if you're in that category. But anybody can, and if you have a question for the First Deputy Mayor of New York City, Anthony Shores, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Deputy Mayor, you talk about the mayor being a change agent, the administration, the police department being for change and reform. Not everybody believes that when it comes to Commissioner Bratton. And I want to play the clip from the mayor's speech last night in which he explicitly praised Commissioner Bratton as a change agent and a reformer. Listen.
When I named Commissioner Bratton as our police commissioner, I knew him to be one of the greatest reformers and change agents in policing in the history of this country. I have seen that ability and those values play out each and every day. We saw it today at the New York City Police Department Academy, where not only did we talk about what body cameras will mean in terms of changing the relationship between the police community, we talked about the retraining of the entire police force, something that has never been done in this city before. We talked about helping our officers to understand different ways to defuse confrontations.
Mayor de Blasio last night and Deputy Mayor Shores. Bratton, as you know, is a target of protesters for the so-called broken windows approach to policing, which means constant police contact with a lot of black people for doing not much, like selling loose cigarettes, as Eric Arner was doing that day. And protesters say Bratton is no reformer. It's not that different from stop and frisk. He needs to back off arresting mostly black, some Latino people for every little thing. What's your response?
Look, I think it's understandable why there's a lot of anger in communities that have been affected by, you know, let's face it, centuries of racism and the impacts it's had on people and families. What we're trying to do is to make clear that the change that is happening is real and is felt on the ground. 2 years ago, 700,000 basically young men of color were stopped on streets for not doing anything wrong. That number has dropped 90-95% by this year, effectively eliminating one of the worst scourges that was affecting communities of color in New York. Minor arrests for marijuana have already dropped 50-60% just in this first couple of months since we've changed our policy on that to reflect the fact that we need to stop hassling people for minor things and focus on where serious crimes are. Cameras are going to be on police officers as we try and test whether that actually helps improve relations between communities and the police officer is supposed to serve them. But look, Brian, at the end of the day, the proof is going to be on the street and whether or not people feel a police department that's more just. I think there's evidence that's begun to happen. Complaints about police department activities are down. We have a police commissioner for the first time in perhaps generations who's willing to say that not only do we have some of the finest and bravest police officers and the fairest and most just officers in the country, but we also have a handful of officers who he described in a very brave statement for a police commissioner as sometimes corrupt, sometimes brutal, sometimes racist. And those handful of officers, he said, who act that way have no place in his department. So I think it's not only changing policy, which is clearly happening, it's making that policy change felt on the streets of the city, which ending stop and frisk, ending marijuana arrests, putting cameras on people, all of that is beginning to have real traction on the street. But it's also acknowledging that while the vast majority of those officers do a wonderful job serving people, and it's one of the most diverse police forces in the country, there are some who don't deserve to wear the badge, and I think the commissioner has made clear that they won't be if they take actions that aren't in service of the kinds of values that he represents.
Ben in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Ben, thank you for calling.
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Okay.
I'll just pick you up. I'm in the military. I just came back from Afghanistan. I've had multiple deployments with the Army overseas. And my unit is a National Guard unit in the city. Over 50% of my unit is in the law enforcement correction. This goes beyond training. And I appreciate your guest's comments. This goes beyond training. This is a culture. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I'm a native of Brooklyn, New York. I've been on overseas deployment, and I've had a policy and guidelines dictated to me in much more severe situations than was involved in the Eric Garner case. Those same police officers, I apologize if I'm a bit long-winded, I won't be. Those same police officers would not have had the same reaction if they were in Midtown Manhattan. With a similar incident with a Caucasian person or someone who they assumed that there would be repercussions within the department, So when this, your gentleman, they talk about training and we're reevaluating and it's more than a few bad apples, it's not just a few bad apples. And I'm not saying most of my friends are in law enforcement, okay? But they're great people. Even good people do wrong things. But when they're held accountable, they think twice. But in the police department in New York City and all over the country, but especially in New York, it's known. If you take a police officer from the 19th precinct and you transfer him up into the Bronx, he knows he has a different standard, not just because it's more dangerous, but things that he can get away with that he won't be held accountable for. But if you put him on 2nd Avenue and 44th Street, he has to think, who does this person know? What kind of limelight and what kind of repercussions am I going to have from this? That's a chokehold, first of all. I've been training hand-to-hand combat. I know chokeholds up and down all day long. When his forearm is in front of his windpipe, that's the equivalent of the baton, which is the reason why they stopped doing it in the first place. But this boils down to accountability. I don't want to hear it's just a few bad apples that we have. We have racists in the military. They do a great job at their military job, but they're racist.
Let me get a reaction to you from the deputy mayor. Deputy mayor, you hear what Ben is saying. He's saying that there are different standards in terms of being held accountable and acceptable behavior in different neighborhoods. Tell me if you think that's untrue. And different perceptions. And that it's not just a matter of a few bad apples, as you were saying before, but a matter of the system, the systemic training and operation.
Well, look, a lot of the points Ben made, I certainly understand, and many of them I agree with. Is it an issue of a few bad apples or a minority of the police force? I don't think anyone would dispute that. Even Ben recognizes the vast majority of these officers are wonderful people doing a great job. There are from time to time in any group as large as a staff of 50,000 people in the police department going to be people who actually don't serve the way they should. So there is some of that, but I think the larger point that he's making, which is that you need a change in culture and you need a sense of accountability. I want to just make clear a couple of things. One, the first person to acknowledge that he thought this was a chokehold was actually the police commissioner, who said at the day of the event and was pretty direct in his statements around what happened there. So it's not as if anybody's walked away. Secondly,
and does the administration stand by that today? Because the attorney for Officer Pantaleo is out saying, and maybe this is what the grand jury heard, that this was not a chokehold. This was not a banned maneuver, according to police policy. It was a different kind of wrestling move intended to tip him to the ground.
I don't want to get into the legalities of it. I don't know enough to argue with anybody. His lawyer, but what I want to make clear is the commissioner was the first one to say by what he saw, the same thing we all saw that day, he said it appeared to him to be a chokehold. Now, my only point is that whatever the grand jury's decisions were or weren't, this is a commissioner who is very direct in his point of view about what he said happened, said it almost immediately after the event occurred. He can't, to Ben's point, indicate his perspective on accountability because there was a grand jury process going on. And one of the key points that people need to keep in mind is what happened yesterday is only a part of what's not the end of this story. It's only the end of this first chapter. The Justice Department's investigation is now open, and the federal U.S. Attorney's investigation has begun. The NYPD itself and the accountability structure of the NYPD will also have to come into play. And that has not yet happened, because none of that can begin until the district attorney's and the grand jury's decision has come in. So the issue of accountability, which is a very fair point, that's only just begun. This first step has happened and passed, but many other steps are now about to begin. So the investigation and the structure of accountability is only to go forward.
Ben, thank you very much for your call and your question. Keep calling us, Ben, and thank you for your service. Ann in the East Village, you're on WNYC. Hello, Ann.
Oh, chokehold, smokehold. I'm banging my head against the wall. I discussed this briefly with Manoush last week when you were away, and it goes back to the extremely unfair taxation that Cuomo and Bloomberg put on these stupid cigarettes, and you were practically the only person who's mentioning this picking and bullying on people for selling loose cigarettes. Talk about the bully culture in our society. These people are getting picked on.
And I'm gonna leave it there for time. Your point is very clear, and I'm going to ask the deputy mayor explicitly and specifically about arresting people for loose cigarette sales at all. Apparently, Eric Garner had been arrested multiple times for that. Should this be anything more than a ticket? Is this a policy that you're revisiting?
Yeah, I mean, part of the issue, Brian, is that there are, and whether we like it or not, there is a tax in place on this, and there's a lot of merchants who do a fair amount of complaining about people selling cigarettes that are not subject to the tax. Whether or not and how those should be handled, I think, is a very fair question. What the right rate of taxation for cigarettes is a question even people have raised. And, you know, whether Rand Paul has an opinion on this is, you know, is a larger question. But I think what matters here is that no matter what the charge was, no matter what the circumstances were, no matter what the legal technical violation was, what happened there was a heartbreaking thing for an individual and a tragedy for him and his entire family and for the community that cares. So I don't actually think this issue of loose cigarettes is the question. What is the question, and it's a little bit of what Ben brought up, is how we ensure that we have a police department that builds and reflects the values that New Yorkers have, and until we have that relationship between police and community, and that's something that Bill Bratton is deeply committed to, and that de Blasio has really been about for years, even long before he came mayor, that's what's ultimately going to protect us from these kinds of very aberrant cases. We have to build that culture of trust, and that begins with policy and rules and so on. But it really is, and it's a little bit back to Ben's point about culture and accountability and leadership. And that's the direction I think we're heading in now.
Two more quick things before you go. And our guest is first deputy mayor, right-hand man to Mayor de Blasio, Anthony Shores. You mentioned the pilot program involving police body cameras or lapel pin cameras that begins tomorrow in the city. It was kind of pushed up, I think, in its timeline in response to Ferguson. What exactly will happen where? Which precinct is this in? And given that the Garner incident was caught on video by bystanders and the grand jury didn't indict anyway, how much should the public expect will change as a result of more prevalent video?
Well, look, the particular precincts that it's going to be in are precincts. The cameras originally came out of a lawsuit that was filed about stop and frisk. And although we've ended the stop and frisk program as it had been implemented in the prior administration, the particular precincts will be the precincts where there had been high rates of stop and frisk before. The issue around the efficacy of cameras is a very fair question. The evidence, and part of the reason we'll be testing it, is partly a test of technology of how it works and what works best for individuals in the community and officers, but also because we want to see how effective it is. In other communities where cameras have been put in place, it's not so much that the cameras have been, you know, critical in, you know, tragic cases like this in the legal proceedings, but the cameras have a very positive effect in terms of the behavior of individuals in the community and officers, because everybody knows it's going to be filmed whether or not there happens to be a passerby. Obviously, in the case of Eric Garner, there was a passerby with a camera. That's not always true. So it can, and there is some evidence in other communities, have a very positive effect on police-community interaction. And that's what we're really looking for here. It's not necessarily for legal cases. It's to change the pattern of behavior, to change, as Ben said, the culture. And that's part of the reason we're moving forward so quickly with putting the cameras in place.
And real quick, I know you got to go. Why do you think New York was peaceful last night when Ferguson wasn't?
Because I think New York has a long history of peaceful protest. I think New York also recognizes that it has a leadership now that's very committed to the kind of change that the people in the street were calling for. I think right now the gap between the leadership and the community is as small as it's ever been. I think what we are all angry about and all disappointed in is that we're still having a conversation 150 years after the Civil War ended that we shouldn't be having anymore.
First Deputy Mayor Anthony Shores, thank you so much for giving us this time today.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And here now, about 2 minutes of the sounds of peaceful protest around the city, as recorded and reported by WNYC News last night.
I can't breathe! I can't breathe!
It's denial!
We want it from the trial!
No indictment is denial!
We want it from the trial!
No.
Don't shoot.
Hands up.
Don't shoot.
Hands up.
Don't shoot.
Hands up.
Don't shoot.
This is not just about Eric Garner. It's about all of us. It's about our collective humanity and what we as Americans are passing on to the next generation of Americans.
I'm disgusted and embarrassed by our New York City government and NYPD.
I was doing everything peacefully, but it's gotten to the point where
we gotta keep the peace.
It's wrong.
I know.
We all are hurt.
It's like, where are we headed for? What's the future for me?
Your system died right along with Eric Garner.
We want a public trial.
We want a public trial.
Hands up, no choke. Hands up, no choke.
Justice. When do we want it?
Now.
When do we want
justice?
When do we want it?
Now.
People united will never be defeated.
The people united will never be defeated.
They didn't only fail me, they failed many of us. And if we don't take care of this, they may fail you in the future.
Obviously, change doesn't happen overnight. Everything helps a little bit, but then, you know, something like this happens and just kind of sets everything back, you know, take one step forward, two steps back.
It just makes no sense that they would turn around and say no indictment. Even though with Mike Brown, we were pissed, there was some question there. And people have right to have questions. But this, you have the full video. So how can you not tell that this is wrong?
Protesters from around the city last night in a montage with Music Bed, produced by WNYC News. Brian Lehrer on WNYC will continue in a minute with Jamie Floyd and Eugene O'Donnell with legal analysis of what might have happened in that grand jury room and what might come next in the federal civil rights investigation that Attorney General Holder announced, and more of your reactions. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.